And we're holding on page Chof Zayin in Brachos, the first line of the wide lines. We were in the middle of talking about various things involving davening, and the last thing we learned was about a shul. That's a shul is considered Hashem's nachla, and a person who doesn't come there, to a person who has a shul in a city and doesn't come to daven over there, is called a shochen ra, bad name. So now, further in this connection, Omer Leil Rabbi Yechanan, Ika Sabe Bevav. They informed Rabbi Yechanan. Now, Rabbi Yechanan lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael, but he, of course, kept in contact with the Yidden of Bavel. So they told him that there are old Jews in Bavel. And when we say old, Rabbi Yechanan himself lived to quite an advanced age. Rabbi Shuda Goin tells us in his Igeres that Rabbi Yechanan was Rosh Hashiva for 80 years. Although there are some historians that say maybe that's a mistake, maybe that's a Torah sofer, and it's supposed to be 60 years, but he still lived quite a long time. There were even some sources that actually say that he lived 300 or 400 years. So in any case, if they told him that there were old people in Bavel, we don't just mean 70 or 80 years old, we mean considerably old, to the point where Rabbi Yochanan would take notice of it. Toma va'omar. So Rabbi Yochanan was very surprised about that there should be old people in Bavel. And he said, listen, the Pasuk says, Laman Yubri Mechem Vime Venechem Al Hadoma. See, the Pasuk says that your lives and the lives of your children will be extended on the land. So the bracha of Arichas Yomim is primarily in Eretz Yisrael. Abba b'chutz la'aretz loy. The implication seems to be that if in chutz la'aretz, then not. So how is it that there are these Jews who are living in chutz la'aretz and are living to such old ages? Then they informed him that these people, they get up early in the morning to come to shul, and they stay late in shul for Ma'ariv, so they spend a considerable amount of time in shul. Omar Rabbi Yechanan said, oh, then in that case, I understand how that helps them, that now with that, they're able to live long. Kid Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Lebonav, as in fact we find that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his sons exactly that. Kadimu v'chashichu v'aylu levei knishta. Make sure you come early to shul in the morning and leave late at night. In other words, you're there for shachos and for ma'ariv. Ki heichid v'terichu chayay, in order that you'll live long. So Rabbi Yochanan now, when he found out that these elderly people in Bavel are doing that, then he was impressed by that, and he realized this is why. And Omer Rav Acha Rav Chanina, Maikra, where is a pasuk where we see this point that people who come to shul and spend a long time in shul live long? The pasuk says, "Ashrei Adam Shemeali, happy is the person who listens to me." This is the Torah personified is talking in this parak of Mishle. It starts off, "Halo Chochma Tikra," Chochmas Bachutz Toroin or whatever. And it's referring to the Torah. So the Torah says, happy is the person who listens to me, lishko dal basosa yom yom, to be diligent to be by my doors day by day, lishmo mezuzas psachai, to guard the doorposts of my doors. And the word lishmo actually can have two meanings. It can mean to guard, as in when the person comes early and stays late, like as if he's acting as a guard of the shul. That's what Marsha says. The other point is, some of Foshim point out that the word lishmer, we had earlier in the Masechta, for example, can also mean to wait. We had, for example, near the beginning of the Masechta, we had the story with Rabbi Yossi and the Yohan Navi, the shomer li ala Pesach, that he waited for me by the door. So the word lishmer, mezuzas psachai, can mean to wait by the doorposts of my doors. So either way, the point is that the Torah is saying, happy is such a person who's constantly there by my doors. And the next passage continues, the one who finds me has found life. So therefore, when the person comes early and leaves late to shul, as if he was a shomer, as if he was a guard of the doors, then that makes that he'll live long. Now, why should that be? So Taka, why is it that coming to the shul and spending a considerable amount of time there should help a person live long? So Marsha points out this also connects with what we had before in the Gemara about that we said that the shul is Hashem's nachla, and therefore the person doesn't come there, then there's a problem with him. So the idea is, we said yesterday, there's the famous Gemara that says the shuls and the Bate Medrash outside Eretz Yisrael will wind up being placed in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so even now, then they're considered sort of like an extraterritorial part of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, a person who is there benefits from the bracha of long life.
What's the nachla again?
A nachla is an inheritance. So it's Hashem's inheritance. It's Hashem's land, and therefore, so it's actually considered part of Eretz Yisrael, even though geographically it's not located there right now, because eventually it will be. There's a lot of other explanations that different Mefoshim have of what Rabbi Yochanan was wondering about, and what when he was told that these people spend a long time in Shul. There's a lot of different explanations. Among them is Pnei Yeshua talks about that he says Rabbi Yochanan was bothered by the fact that okay, there can be Arichos Yomim sometimes in Chutz Laaretz, but when he's told there are old people in Bavel, the implication is there are more old people there than there are in Eretz Yisrael, and the question was why, and then he was told this. And the vote is also, since the Pasuk uses the expression Lishma Mezuzes Psochai, now we know the Pasuk Laman Yubu Yimechem Yimei V'nechem is in connection with the mitzvah of Mezuzah. So by putting with the word Lishma Mezuzes Psochai, then the idea is the Pasuk is sort of almost like a Gzeira Shava, that when a person spends a long time in Shul, then it's also he has also because of that the schus that a person gets from the mitzvah of Mezuzah, namely Arichos Yom. And since, as we're saying, now mezuzah in general, we say a person is careful with the mitzvah of mezuzah, he's zoicha tarichos yomim. There we don't say that it has to be al ha'adama shenishba Hashem. The mitzvah of mezuzah and the schar for mezuzah applies anywhere in the world. One idea being, again, that a place that has a mezuzah on it is also like an extension of Eretz Yisrael. One idea is the moni ha-mitzvahs give a reason for the idea of mezuzah. It's like you have, for example, in front of a country's embassy, you'll have a flag indicating that this is territory of that country. So even though geographically it's thousands of miles away from that country, but they have the flag out in front showing that this belongs to that country. So in the same vein, the mezuzah on a door is like a flag showing that this is part of Hashem's empire. So in the same way, then it's also a certain part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the person who has that has the advantage. So now we're saying that also a person who spends a long time in shul has that milah as well, and therefore the word mezuzah is psachai. The Avas Esan here on the side of the page brings another point as well. The Gemara tells us in Nedarim, Rabbi Yochanan himself says that you have in the Teuchacha, you have in near the end of the Teuchacha in Parashas Kisavai, you have the expression that in Golos, the Nosan Hashem Machal Lev Ragos, Hashem will give you a trembling heart. And Ragos also means angry. And so, in fact, you have a Gemara in Nedarim where Rabbi Yochanan himself says that being in Chutz Laaretz makes a person prone to anger. So therefore, now the question becomes, so how are people living with Arichos Yomim over that? Doesn't anger tend to shorten a person's life? And the answer is, again, once they're in the Beis Medrash, then that has an advantage that keeps them away from this Lev Ragos that allows them to have the Menuchas HaNefesh that allows them to live long. So there's that, and there's a variety of other explanations also about what Rabbi Yochanan's question was and what the answer and what the answer is. Since we mentioned this pasuk, Lishko dal dalsoisai yom yom, dalsoisai means my doors. So the Gemara mentions in this connection another thing involving the doors of the shul. A person should always go in two doors into the shul. So what does that mean? What do you mean two doors? The shul, first of all, the shul doesn't always have two doors or two sets of doors. And second of all, what's the point? What's the greatness of going into two doors? What he means is the space of two doors. And then he should, or we're going to see a second, the word shir, beis psachim, actually has a few different meanings. And then he should daven. So it means something, a measure of two doors. So what do we mean a measure? So one second. So Rashi explains that what it means is a person shouldn't sit close to the door of the shul. Because if he does, then he makes it look like davening is a burden for him. He can't wait to finish davening and rush out of the shul. Therefore, he should walk in at least the distance of beis psachim. There are Rishonim who say that means at least eight tfachim, and the Pirush HaRosh over here explains it to mean eight amos. With that said, though, there are Rishonim will point out that wouldn't apply if a person's makom kavua happens to be within eight tfachim or eight amos of the door. Then there's no issue with that. It's his makom kavua, so then therefore that's fine for him to sit there. Anyway, though, the Rosh gives a different explanation that it doesn't mean a distance, rather it means an amount of time. A person shouldn't start davening, and primarily tefillah in Gemara terminology means Shemoneh Esrei. He shouldn't right away start the moment he walks into the shul. he should take a few seconds to compose himself and then be able to have kavana and davening. So the shiur beis psachim doesn't mean a distance in space. It means a distance in time that he should wait the amount of time it takes to walk 8 amos after he's come into the shul before he starts davening. With that said, so a third explanation, actually, the Bach in his Pirush on the Tur actually has an explanation that it does literally mean two doors. He says, if at all possible, a shul should have a foyer, the same way as we find the Heichel had an ulam, it had an entry, it had an entrance hall, and then you would walk through that. It didn't have a door per se, it just had a doorway, which was covered with a curtain, and then you'd walk through that, and then you'd walk through the doors into the Heichel itself. In the same way, if at all possible, a shul should have a foyer or a vestibule. 770 is a perfect example of that. Yeah, you have two sets of doors. So here, for example, our shul doesn't have two sets of doors, but it has that foyer over there. You do have a space that you're walking in there. So he says, if at all possible, it means that a shul should have that. And then in Shulchan Aruch, it brings all these various explanations, and as much as possible, a person should try to keep all of them. The point is, we're darshaning from the same phrase, dal soy sai, my doors, in the plural, as indicating that there needs to be the shiur beis psachim before davening. Again, whether it means in distance or in time, etc.
Yeah.
Continuing on the topic of davening, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Tillim. The pasuk says, al zois ispalo kochosid elecha la'es metzoy. For the following thing, every chosid should daven to you at the time of mitzoy. Mitzoy means finding. So at the time of finding. So what does that mean? What is the time of finding? In other words, the implication is that a chosid needs to daven to Hashem, that there's something that he needs to find, which he should be able to find that in the proper way and in the proper time. So what is that thing? So the Gemara gives five different explanations. Amar Rav Chanina, la'es mitzoy zu isha. The word la'es mitzoy refers to finding a wife. So a person should be davening to Hashem that he should be able to find his basherta when it's the appropriate time. Shenema, and we find the word mitzoy in connection with a woman, motza isha, motza toiv. A man has found a wife, then he's found goodness. HaKosev gives an explanation over here that what it is, if you look at the kapitel as a whole, this is kapitel Lamed Beis of Tillim. So the kapitel starts off, Asherei nesui peshach ksui chatar. It's talking about the greatness of a person whose averus have been forgiven. So it's talking about the people who have done tshuva. It talks about the tzaddikim gemurim. So now we're saying, in other words, that a person needs to daven to Hashem that he should have what he needs in order to be as perfectly as possible forgiven by Hashem and be able to live in the way that Hashem wants him to. So now the first explanation is over here that we're talking when a man finds his basherta, when a man finds his wife, then that helps him, it helps him in many different ways. There's Gemara in Yevamos, for example, that mentions that a wife saves a man from her hurim, because now he looks at her rather than at other women. She raises his children, she does other good things for him. In fact, HaKosev points out that David may be referring to his own situation, the story with Bathsheba. Later on in that capital also you have, or earlier in that capital actually you also have where he's regretting his averus, Amarti Oda Aleph Shail Hashem, I said that I'll confess my averus to Hashem, Ba'atam Asasa Abon Fatosi Sela. So now he's saying, Al Zoisi Spalako Chose Elecha Leis Mitzoy, that a person should daven that he finds his wife at the right time. He's saying, as opposed to me, for example, I went at the wrong time and I saw Bathsheba. If I had, let's say, what does the pasuk say? She was in the middle of washing her hair, and then he saw her. So HaKosev says, listen, if he had gone up onto the roof a half hour later, he never would have seen her, and the whole thing wouldn't have happened. So this is what it means that he should find an isha tova rather than getting involved in a dvar aver. And he says that the end of the same pasuk continues, Rak l'shetef mayim rabim elov lo yagiu, that the person should daven that the storm of many waters, that the flood of many waters shouldn't reach him. So that can refer to the point that a person ends up meeting the wrong kind of woman and then getting involved with her, then he gets swept away like by a storm. So la'es mitzoy zu isha. So it includes all the idea that a person should find his basherta and that he should find her at the right time and not be involved with the wrong kind of woman and so on and so forth. So, yeah. And the Gemara interjects, by the way, but Ma'arava, ki nosiv inish itza, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, when a man would get married, Amri lehofi matzah oy moitzei. People would ask him, what's the story? Is it matzah found or moitzei finding? And we find two psukim in connection with that, that refer to a good wife and a not so good wife. Matzah dechtiv matzah isha matzah tov vayofik rotzen mashem. A pasuk says one who has found a wife has found good, and he receives his desire from Hashem, or it means that Hashem has given him his desire, and he's showing that he's bringing out Hashem's desire for him. So that's matzah. Moitze dichtiv. On the other hand, you have a pasuk in Kehelas, or moitze ani mami mavis a saisha, where Shloima talks about, I find more bitter than death a certain kind of woman. So therefore, they would ask this newly minted chassan, what's the situation with you and your wife? Is it matzah or is it moitze? Now, what kind of a question is that? The Rif says, I mean, you can't know right after you get married. It takes time to find what kind of wife you have. Other Mephoshim point out, I mean, isn't there also potentially a problem of Lashon Hara involved over here? Anyway, so the Rif explains what they're telling him is like this. What they're hinting with this question is, they're telling him, listen, we know that when a couple gets married, Hashem forgives them their aves. We learn it, in fact, from a pasuk involving Esav, where Esav, one of Esav's wives, at the end of Parshas told us, when it tells about him marrying them, it says that one of them was named Basmas. Then later on in Parshas Vayishlach, when it lists his wives, it calls her Machalas. And what's the idea? Because we learned from that, Rashi mentions on the pasuk that we learned from that a chosin and kala moichlin lahen al kol avinisei. So now we tell the chosin, if you're going to be matzah isha, matzah toiv, then by yofik rotzen mashem, then it's going to be that good. You're accomplishing, you're doing what Hashem wants, and your averus will be permanently gone, and they're not going to come back. On the other hand, if you act wrongly and you go back to your old bad ways, then it's going to be motzah mami mavas saisha, in the sense not that she's bad necessarily, but in the sense that you have caused all the old averus to come right back onto you, and you're right back where you started, and the fact that you got married didn't accomplish anything useful for you. So that's what they're telling him with this matzah oy moitzei. Realize that getting married is not a get out of jail free card. It all depends now how you're going to act from now on. Yeah. There's many other different explanations what the matzah versus moitzei means. The Maharal says a word. We know that one's basherta was destined to him for him even before he was born, when he was first conceived, like you have the Gemara in Sota. So therefore, matzah, if he finds his basherta, then matzah, it's in the past tense. It was already in the past tense when he was first conceived that she was designated for him, and therefore it's good. On the other hand, moitzeh, if he has to find, and if he has to be finding, in other words, he hasn't yet found the right one, then it may be a very difficult situation. And then there's another interesting explanation that I once saw on it, that the vort is, it's also meant similar to what the Rif says about that it's a message for the chosin as far as how he should think of his marriage. Again, matzah being in past tense, moitzah being in present tense. If he takes the view, matzah, I've found the right one for me, I don't have to second guess myself, is this the right one? Then good, matzah isha matzah toy. But if it's moitzah, if you're always having to second guess, did I really marry the right person? Maybe I could have done better. Maybe this one isn't the right one for me. Then it's going to be a very bad situation. And there's other explanations as well of this matzah versus moitzah business. Onward. So that's one explanation of la'eis mitzoy, that a person should be davening al zoyis yisfalak al chasei alecha, la'eis mitzoy, that he should find his basherta at the right time. Rab Nosson omer la'eis mitzoy zutor. Rab Nosson says another meaning of la'eis mitzoy. It means that a person should have the ability to learn Torah. And we find the word matzah in connection with Torah, dichtiv ki motzi matzah chayim, in the pasuk that we quoted before, the one who finds me has found life. That was the pasuk we said before, that we said that therefore a person who comes to shul a lot lives long. So we see the pasuk is associating finding with Torah. Again, that whole kapitel of Sefer Mishlei is the Torah personified talking. Ki motzi, the one who found me, matzah chayim, will have found life. So you should daven to Hashem, in other words, that he has the ability to learn Torah properly. So, uh, In fact, the Eitz Yosef points out that so the Rif points out, I mean, what do you mean? A person has to put his own yigiyah into Torah. You can't ask Hashem to give him the Torah as a present. But it means, in other words, that he should have the ability to learn Torah with the schus, that he should learn Torah in such a way that it'll be a sam chayim for him rather than the opposite. So for that, he can daven to Hashem that she should give him the right motivation to learn Torah for the right reasons. And then the Eitz Yosef points out that also, now, a person has to set aside a fixed time for learning Torah, and that's also included in Matzah, that he finds, the Eis Mitzoy, that he finds a particular time that he sets aside for learning Torah, and thus also the pasuk continues, Rak l'shet of Mayim Rabim, Elov lo yagiu, the shet of Mayim Rabim, this flood of many waters, then, he says, refers to dangerous philosophical ideas that would go against the Torah. When he's learning Torah, then that helps protect him against succumbing to those.
Sounds like a potion.
So sam is like a potion, right? So sam chai means a life-giving potion, a life-giving elixir, yeah. So that's what it means, la'is mitzoy zu Torah. Rav Nachman Yitzchok amar la'is mitzoy zu misa. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the word la'is mitzoy means when a person dies, a person should be davening to Hashem that when he has to go, it should be easy, and it shouldn't be a painful death. And where do we see that the word motzah has to do with death? Shenema lamavis totsois, as we find the word totsois, which is similar to the word matzah, it's a different shodesh technically, but still it's close enough. The pasuk mentions lamavis totsois, so a person should be davening that when it's time for him to die, that it should be that it should go easy for him. Again, Akosev explains over here each one of these things. We're saying they're not arguing with each other. Each one is saying what a person needs to daven for the one thing that will be able to make it, that he'll be able to be as close as possible to Hashem throughout his life, because that's what the subject of the kapitel was about. Again, if it was a Baal Teshuva, and the Baal Teshuva and the Tzaddik, respectively. So he's saying, la'es mitzoy zumisa, what he means is a person has to be working on that he should be learning Torah while he's alive. It's not just enough to have an Isha Torah, he also has to learn Torah, and that'll keep him close with Hashem. So now Rav Nachman is saying, another thing is also, on the other hand, we know that Hashem doesn't associate his name with tzaddikim until they die, so therefore a person should be davening that when he's dying also, he should still be connected with Hashem. So that way he'll be worthy of having Hashem's name associated with him after 120.
What does it mean, a quick death or easy death?
It means an easy death, yeah. What? Yeah, it means all that, yeah. Tanin, it can also include, by the way, it's interesting, there are a number of Sfarim, including Mava Yabok and a few other Sfarim, that give an interesting thing that occurs, a certain kind of moidah, an announcement or a notice that a person should give before he dies, along the lines of basically saying that if when I'm taking my last breaths, I say that my mind is confused at that point, and I end up saying something against Hashem or against the Torah or so forth because I'm not in my right mind, then I want it to be known in advance now that's not me, that I reject any such thing, and it's not actually that I'm disclaiming any responsibility for it, basically, in the same way as you can have in the same way, for example, as you can have in halacha. You can have a scenario in halacha, let's say, where a person is being forced to sell a piece of property. So then he can do a moedah, he can inform edim, he can go and bring edim ahead of time and give them notice saying that I'm not selling this property voluntarily, I'm being forced into it, and eventually I plan to take the guy to Beis Din and exercise my rights. And then he's able to do that. So in the same way, this mesiras moedah that's brought in various svarim has the idea that a person is saying, while I'm still of sound mind, I'm disclaiming ahead of time anything that I might say on my deathbed that is against Hashem or whatever. So that would also be included in this, that a person should be davening that he has the presence of mind before he dies to be able to still be close to Hashem and not to accidentally say something that he shouldn't be saying at that point. Tani Nami Hochibul, and similarly in Ebraisa, tough kuf gimel mine misa nivru ba'olam. There are 903 kinds of death created in the world. Shenema, in other words, various causes of death. Shenema lamavis totsois, this pasuk that we just mentioned, where totsois, be gematria, hochi haba. The word totsois is gematria 903. So the point is, in other words, of those 903, some of them are worse than others. Some of them are harsher and more painful than others. So therefore, a person should be davening to have the easier ones among them. Why is the Gemara darshaning it? Marashah points out, because otherwise, why the word toitzois, you would have expected the word moitzois, which means being brought out. So the simple meaning of the pasuk would instead have the word moitzois. Lamavis, moitzois, there are many different ways that Hashem has of bringing a person out with death. Instead, the word is toitzois, so therefore we darshan it as a gematria, that it's 903 different ways. And kosher shebekulam askara, the harshest of all of those 903 is askara. So askara, Rashi translates it here and in various other places in Shas as something like an internal strangulation. So a very common translation they say for it is diphtheria. And nowadays they have a vaccine for it, but back to that.
What is that name? What's diphtheria?
Diphtheria. So it's a disease where some kind of some kind of membrane or something grows inside a person's throat, and basically it strangles him from the inside. Yeah. So nowadays they have treatments for it, but back then they didn't, and it was considered particularly fearful. You find in many places, for example, you find in Gemara in Tainus mentions children were particularly prone to it, and therefore. It says the Anshe Maimah, the people who are representing the rest of the Jewish people in watching the Korbanos being brought, and they were daven special tefillahs and so on and so forth. Every Wednesday, their tefillahs would be to daven that children shouldn't be struck with askara.
Yeah, it sounds almost like with the COVID when the people couldn't breathe.
It was worse than that even, but yeah. So that's the harshest of all these 903 we're saying. Nicha shebekulam neshika, and the most gentle out of the 903 ways is misas neshika, where Hashem, so to speak, gives the person a kiss and the neshama goes out. So let's give an illustration. The Gemara says, "Askira domi kichizra bigvava del amra del achore nishra." Askira resembles the pain that a person goes through with askira and with dying from it is like when domi kichizra bigvava de amra, it's like thorns that get stuck into a hank of wool, delachorin nishra, after you pull it off. In other words, so what's going to happen? You have some wool tangled in thorns. You pull off the wool. You pull off the wool. Some of the thorns are going to end up stuck to the wool, and some of the wool is going to end up stuck to the thorns. So in the same way, the same way, in other words, the neshama being ripped out of the body by askara is very difficult and very painful. One thing that it says in Sfarim is the idea is that how difficult the person's death for them depends to a certain extent on how enmeshed they were in Inyana Olam Hazeh. If they're completely involved and mushka and they're completely mushka, they're completely sunk into taivas of this world, then yeah, it's very painful to be for the neshama to be schlepped out of that. And then we're saying over here, it's like the wool, something is going to get left behind. As opposed to when a person lives his life in a ruchniyistic way, he lives his life for the Eibishter, then it's much easier for his neshama to live. So that's the next thing the Gemara is going to say. The ikad de amri kibituri pefi vesht. Another way of looking at the difficulty of a death by askara is it's like getting the rope out of the hole in the boat. So Rashi describes there are places in the ocean where, like this, boats in those days were made out of wood, but they were usually put together, where they were usually held together with metal nails or metal screws. Mm-hmm. Now Rashi says there are some places in the ocean where you can't go with boats that have metal in them. And the Rashash on the Gemara explains that these places have like giant magnets on the seafloor, and therefore they'll literally pull the nails out of the boats. I once saw many years ago, somebody wanted to claim, somebody wrote a sefer about different mysterious things in Torah, and one of them he claimed that maybe the Bermuda Triangle is such a place, and therefore that's why you find that.
Oh, but only in the woods.
Yeah, something like, anyway. The point is, it actually says, so if boats, so people who want to have boats go in such places in the ocean, what they do is instead they put, the boats are made out of wood, like all other boats, but instead of holding them together with metal nails, they have to hold them together with ropes. Now, therefore, so how do you do it in order that water doesn't leak in? You have to make the rope exactly the size of a hole so it goes in and out only with great difficulty. So now picture how it'd be to schlep that rope out of that very tight hole, and you have an idea, the Gemara says, of how painful a death by askara is.
Right.
That's what we're saying, that's the harshest of all the 903. On the other hand, this is Neshika, Damya Kemishcha B'nisim Echelba, it's like pulling a hair out of milk, where it goes very easily. In the same way, the neshama leaves the body very easily with misas neshika. So therefore, again, we're saying a person should daven that when he has to go, out of those 903 ways, that Hashem should give him one of the easier ways. That's a Rav Nachman Reitzchok's explanation of la'es mitzoy. Next, Rav Yochanan Amar la'es mitzoy zukvura. Rav Yochanan says, let's go beyond that. Even after a person dies, he also needs to daven to Hashem that he should have a proper kvura. Now, to be sure, Marashah says there is a mitzvah to bury a person. But after all, unfortunately, you have people who don't end up being zoicha to have a proper kvura. Also, you might have other mafarshim point out, Eitz Yosef points out, you might have, for example, where not always is the kvura able to happen right after the person passes away. Sometimes you have a situation where it's delayed a couple of days for one reason or another. So a person should be davening that he shouldn't have to go through that, and he should be buried properly and promptly. So that also, so Akosev adds, in other words, that to daven for that, first of all, again, it's covered for the body. After all, the body was the dwelling place of the neshama, so it deserves honor for that. Just like, for example, the same way as you don't just discard Sheamus, because after all, they served a purpose of Kedusha. Right. Second of all, also by treating the body with respect, it strengthens our emuna in Tchias HaMesim. So therefore, now Rabbi Yochanan is saying that's the thing that a person should, part of what a person should daven for, as the Salzoisi Spalakol Chosid Elecha Le'es Mitzoy, is that he should have a proper kvura and a prompt kvura when the time comes. And we find the word mitzoy in connection with kvura. Amar Rav Chanina, Maikra, where is a pasuk that we see that the word matzah has to do with being buried? The pasuk says in Iyav, hasmechim elegil, the people who are happy at the things that it's appropriate to be joyous about, yasistu ki yimsu kaver, they're happy when they find the grave. So in other words, because they know they lived their life properly, and now they're going to be buried properly. So in other words, we see that the word yimsu is mentioned in connection with kever. And Omer Rav Barav Shila, Hainu Da'amri Inshi. This is like the expression people say, Liboy Inish Rachmi, a person should always daven for Rachmanus from Hashem, Afilo Ad Zibula Basraisa Shlama, that even up to the last spadeful of earth that's put on his caver, that he should be at peace. So in other words, a person shouldn't think after he's dead, doesn't matter, he doesn't know anything anyway. No, he should still continue. He should still dive into Hashem that even his burial, that even the very end of his burial, that everything should go peacefully and well. And the fifth one, Mazutra Amar La'es Mitzoy Zu Beis HaKisei. Mazutra says the La'es Mitzoy that we're saying that a person should daven for is that he should have a Beis HaKisei, that he should have a bathroom nearby. Now, why is that such a big thing? Rashi points out that in Bavel, the ground in many places was swampy. So you couldn't dig. Now, like this, usually you'd have a person would dig a trench in the ground and they'd use that. And then after that, they'd dig dirt and cover it. You find in the Pasuk in Parshat Kisetze, where it says that Jews in there, that the Jewish army has to do that. You can't just leave the waste uncovered. But Rashi points out in Bavel, they wouldn't always be able to do that in every place, because in some places the ground was swampy and you can't really dig into it. So therefore, in such places, you'd wind up having to go quite far away in order to find a place where you could go to the bathroom. So therefore, a person should be davening that he shouldn't have that he should be able to find someplace nearby. Now, the deeper idea behind it, Hakosev adds, is, first of all, there is the fact, and the Ritva mentions the same thing on the Gemara. The fact is, we know from various other Gemaras that a person should go to the bathroom right when they need to. Hamash and the cover of over loisaseh, if a person waits to go to the bathroom, then he's over on a loisaseh, he's making himself repulsive. There's the idea that under some circumstance it ruins a person's health if he waits to go to the bathroom too long. We learned about it in Bechoris a while back. In some cases, a person is not even allowed to daven or learn Torah when he feels the need to go to the bathroom. So that's one thing. So just on that level. And then Hakosev adds also that the bathroom over here, which is what do you do in the bathroom? You remove the waste from your body. What your body doesn't need, then you expel it, and meanwhile you've kept the nutrients that your body needs. So therefore, that represents, in other words, that a person has to be considering the various ideas and the various worldviews and philosophies and whatever that are out there, and reject the ones that are not compatible with Torah, which is comparable to going to the bathroom. So therefore, we're saying, in other words, when we're saying a person should daven that he has a bathroom nearby, it means not only a gashmiistic bathroom to be able to remove the waste from his body, but also a ruchniistic bathroom to be able to discard the ideas that are against Torah. Yeah. And the Gemara says, Amri b'mar rova. So they said in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, Hod marzutra adifa mikuru. Out of these five explanations of La'is Mitzoy, marzutras is the best of all of them. Of these five explanations, that La'is Mitzoy means a wife, it means Torah, it means death, it means burial, and it means the Beis Akise, marzutras is the best of all the explanations. Now, why is it best? Marashah says, because since the pasuk continues, Rak l'shetef mayim rabim elav lo yagiu, that the flood of waters shouldn't reach him. So we said that you can explain the flood of waters metaphorically in connection with some of the others. It means a flood of wrong ideas. It means the flood of Hakosev had said it meant the flood of Hirhurim and so forth, but still, in the simple sense of the pasuk, we're talking about a flood of waters. So therefore, what it means is if a person has a Beis HaKiseh close to him, he won't have to hold himself in, and then he won't wind up with literally a flood of waters that comes out when it shouldn't. So therefore, in that sense, Marzutra's explanation is the best.
So, unfortunately, when you get older, you get a large prostate.
There's that too, yeah. Also true. Reb Reuven Margolius points out another thing also. He says you have there's a posuk in Melachim Beis where it tells how there was a Beis Avodah Zarah in the city of Shomron that was turned into public latrines. Yehu, one of the kings of Yisrael, destroyed this place and turned it into public latrines, and the posuk calls it Lamot Sotris. So therefore, we see that the word over here, La'is Mitzoy, is very directly connected with a bathroom. And therefore, that's another reason why we're saying that Mazutra's explanation is the best one. Gemara continues. Please tell us some of the great things, some of the wonderful teachings in Torah that you previously told us in the name of Rav Chista, b'mili debei knishta, regarding things about a shul. Since the subject of our sugya is about different dinim and statements in Agadah regarding a shul, so tell us a nice verse that you heard from Rav Chista about a shul. Omalei, so Rav from Bapapa says, Hochi Omer Rav Chista. Now this is what Rav Chista said. Mai dichtiv ohev Hashem sharei tzion mikol mishkanos Yaakov. The Pasuk says, Hashem loves the gates of Tzion more than all the dwelling places of Yaakov. Now, it can't mean in the simple sense, because what's so great about the gates of Tzion more than the dwelling places, where after all, in the dwelling places in a Jew's house, he does mitzvahs and then so on and so forth. So what's so great about the gates of Tzion? It means, Hashem loves the gates that are distinguished. Charitzi, I mean the gates that are distinguished in halacha, meaning the places where people actually learn, where people learn practical halacha, even more than the shuls and the batei medrash. In other words, Marashah says, in a shul, everybody goes there to daven. You have people who are greater Talmid Chachamim, people who are lesser Talmid Chachamim. In the base medrash also, people learn Torah on different levels. Not even the people who are learning Gemara are not necessarily learning what the practical halacha is. But when you have sha'arim ha'mitzuyonim b'halacha, when they have, where they're learning in a way that comes to halacha p'suka, then that's the greatest thing of all, and Hashem appreciates that more than anything else. So the Sha'arei Tzion and Yosim v'Batik Nisias and the Batim Midrashas, which are called Mishkanos Yaakov. So the Rif points out, I mean, what is this? Rava asked for a nice teaching about a shul, and instead he's telling him that a shul is not even as great as Sha'arim ha'mitzuyonim b'halacha. So what kind of an answer is that? So he says, okay, one thing is, since we're talking about that the Sha'arim ha'mitzuyonim b'halacha are greater than a shul, that shows, in other words, a shul itself is a great thing. We're just saying that Sha'arim ha'mitzuyonim b'halacha are even greater than that. And then he goes on to say that after all, we said that Hashem is in the shul. We learned before the kimnitz abad eskel, the shechina is in a shul, and we're saying that as great as that is, so the Rif goes on to say it means when they learn halacha in a shul, then such a shul is greater than all the other shuls and all the other batei medrash where they don't learn halacha. Because then you have both advantages. You have your daven there, and the shechina is there, as well as you're learning Torah, and you have shorim ha'mitzuyonim b'halacha. This is what Reb Chiya Ba'ami says in the name of Ula. Miyam shechara Beis Hamikdash. Ever since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, ein lo la kodesh baruch hu ba'olam ela dalet amos shel halacha bilvad. The only space that Hashem has in this world is the four amos of halacha. Because then the Shechina is found there more than any place else. So Shaar Etzion, and Marsha points out also Sha'arim, we find throughout Chumash, whenever it says Sha'arim, very often it means the place where the Beis Din sits and where they pass in halacha. So we're saying that Hashem appreciates those places and Hashem's Shechina rests in those places more than any place else. The Rambam, by the way, has in the middle of his Pirush, in the middle of his Akdama to Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam goes off on a tangent and describes, he says, you know, everything in the world, if you think carefully into it enough, you'll find out what the purpose is that it was created for. Sometimes it's more obvious, sometimes it's less obvious, but if you think into it, Shlomo HaMelech, for example, thought into it in the ultimate way, then you can realize the purpose why Hashem made each thing in the world, how somehow or other it benefits people. What is a person himself created for? So ultimately, he says, the person is created in order to come close to Hashem, in order to understand Alakos as much as possible. And how do you understand Alakos as much as possible is by learning halacha. You have also in Tanya, and you get a Chavtes, the Alter Rebbe talks about that halachas are Togah, Kisra, Shal Torah. They're the crown of Torah. They represent the Rotzen Elyon more than any other part of Torah. And therefore, we're saying that is what Hashem really has in his world. That's what he created. The world is that such people should be in it. And that's the kind of person, and that's the kind of place where Hashem stays more than any place else. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "V'amar Abai, Meresh have a garisna b'goy besi. Originally, I used to learn at home, or matzlinu b'beik nishta, and then I would go to the shul to daven." Once I heard the statement of Rav Chiya Ba'ami in the name of Ula, that Hashem has in this world only the four amas of Halacha. So from then on, says, I would daven only where I lived. Now, does that mean that he would daven, that he would continue learning at home and then he would daven at home as well? Some Mefarshim explain that. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Megillah, which where it seems to be Mashma the other way around, that he meant from then on, he would go to the shul to learn, and then he would also daven over there.
Yeah.
And the Gemara mentions in this connection also, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, Afa Gav Dehavala, who twice bought Beit Knishta B'Tveria, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, even though they had available to them 13 shuls in Tveria, and they could go daven in any one of those shuls, Loi Matzlu Ela Bene Amudi, still they would only daven between the pillars of the Beis Medrash, Heichu Dehavu Garasi, in the place where they would learn Torah. So again, the idea was they understood that the place where they learn Torah is the ideal place to daven. And here also, you have a machlokas rishonim. Does that mean that they would daven in that place, whether they had a minyan or not? Because they figured the advantage of learning, of davening in the place where they learned Torah outweighs even davening with a minyan. So in other words, instead of going to one of the 13 shuls where they would find a minyan, they would just daven in that spot in the Beis Medrash, even if they didn't have a minyan, because that itself is a great maila. Or do we mean that they would make sure that they had a minyan right there in the Beis Medrash, around that spot where they would sit and learn? And the point is also that spot, even though they wouldn't just say the whole Beis Medrash is the same thing, they would davka the same spot in the Beis Medrash where they sat and learned is the spot where they would daven as well. But according to that second explanation, I think Rabbi Yonah says this, that they would in fact make sure that they had a minion there as well. And we'll continue next time with more of Hashem. Yudches Tishrei is today. So continuing on the topic of Simchas Beis HaShoeva that we started yesterday. So we said that in the time of the Beis Mikdash, they had the real Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Nowadays, we don't have that. But on the other hand, we started already on the first night of Yom Tov. Now, the Rebbe continued, a Yid could come and argue. How can you tell me to be happy by Simchas Beis HaShoeva? And every single night, aren't we in Golos? And the answer is, the Rebbe says, after all, the whole idea of Golos is that we should have Ken Yubav Chen Yifrit, that we continue to increase and to spread out even in Golos. This is a different sikha where the Rebbe talks about the argument between Yosef and Yaakov as far as Ephraim and Menashe, which one is greater, where Yaakov explains to him that Ephraim, Ki Ephrani, Alekim Beretzoni, is the greater thing. So therefore, so now a Yid can also dance and sing by Simchas Beis, can also dance and be happy by Simchas Beis Yosheva. And not only that, even to dance in the street, unlike in the time of the Beis Mikdash, where they danced specifically in the Beis Mikdash. And then not only does the street not interfere with Simchas Beis Sheva. On the contrary, a Yid accomplishes that the suite itself dances and everybody sees that this is a Chassidish suite. And then the Rebbe went on to talk about a Maiso Iker that you have to increase in Simchas Beis Sheva from one night to the next. And eventually that leads to the dancing with Mashiach Tzidkenu Miyad Mamash. Halacha, we were in the middle of talking about Dinim of Bosa Mechalav. If a person ate cheese and now he wants to eat meat, so we said, I'll be Kabbalah, you have to wait an hour. But aside from that, also you have to make sure to get rid of any pieces of bread that you ate together with the cheese. You also have to change the tablecloth or the placemat. You also can't use a fleshic knife to cut bread to eat with cheese or vice versa, even if the knife is clean. V'shaset chak, if you're on the road, for example, then you're allowed, if you clean the knife very well, then you'd be allowed to use it to cut bread to eat with cheese or vice versa. But l'chile, you shouldn't do that. And then you have another din, if you use a fleshic knife and use to cut onions or other sharp foods, wow, and now you put those into milk food, then you got to ask a shayla, because then it gets complicated. Yeah, garlic, onions, other kinds of short vegetables like that. Yeah.